Some of you may have heard of King Louis XIV before. He's referred to as the Sun King. He referred to himself as the Great. There seemed to be only one person in his life that really was able to make an effect on him. That is the court chaplain, Jean-Baptiste Massillon. The king himself said about him, he said, "I have heard many great orators and have been highly pleased with them. But whenever I hear you, I go away displeased with myself, for I see my own character." Massillon was known for never changing his message for those in his audience, especially even if it was the king himself. And this was no different at the king's funeral. In 1715 in Paris, France, the king had ordered that no lights be lit in the Notre Dame Cathedral except for one lone flickering candle on top of his jewel-studded, solid gold casket. He wanted people to be awed by his presence, even in his death. As Massillon took the stage, he shook the crowd that day. He licked his fingers, snuffed out the candle, and proclaimed, "Only God is great." We try to make a mental image of God a lot of times. I know I do myself. Here's one for you to ponder on a little bit. If we just take the sun and make it the size of a grapefruit, the earth would be a grain of sand 35 feet away. The next closest star would also be the size of the grapefruit, and on that scale, it would be 1,200 miles away. That's the distance from here to Houston, whose low last night, by the way, was 50, not 5. And in our galaxy, there's an estimated 10 billion of those grapefruits, all 1,200 miles apart from each other. And as far as we can estimate, there are 100 billion galaxies in the universe. Got that picture in your head? Isaiah in chapter 40, verse 12, tells us that God holds all that within his hand. Well, that's quite a picture, isn't it? We can take that picture and throw it away, because when you think of that, you think of a God in a space consuming time. Here's the thing, space and time, that's in his hand too. We try to put this mental image on God, and we just can't do it. Romans chapter 11, verse 36, Paul tells us, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." We serve a God who is beyond all comprehension and therefore deserves all the glory, and all the glory goes to him alone. But a lot of times we don't give him all that glory. Sometimes we try to take a story that's supposed to be about God, and we try to make it about ourselves. In Mark chapter 10, Jesus is foretelling his death, and he's saying that he'll rise again 3 days later and come again in glory. But then James and John said, "Oh, well, that's all fine, Danny. Hang on just a second. Can we be seated to your right and left?" They changed the story from about Jesus and his glory and tried to make it about themselves. And a lot of times, we do that too. We read in the Bible that our ancestors made idols of gold and gods of gold if they would worship. And we may not do that today, but we have our gods in our lives too. Whether it be, I'd even dare to say that anything that takes away our attention and worship from the one true and living God is a god in our life. But I think our biggest God stares back at us in the mirror. I want you to stay with me in that mirror as I read the words from John Henry Newman. It says, "We don't make it our aim to please God. We make it our aim to please ourselves without displeasing God." Let me read that again. "We don't make it our aim to please God. We make it our aim to please ourselves without displeasing God." You might ask, what's the difference? It's the same actions. The difference is what you're aiming for That's what you're worshiping. And when we aim to please ourselves, we're worshiping ourselves and taking glory away from God. We must snuff our candles out. Now the question arises, if God is so full and so great of glory, how can we access that? Throughout the Old Testament, we see how God's manifested presence interacts with the people in different ways. At first, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve enjoy an intimate fellowship with God, roaming the earth with Him, until sin entered in and created a gap between man and God. As we continue on, in Exodus chapter 33, we learn of the tent of meeting that Moses set up, where he would go and talk to God. This tent was far outside the camp of the Israelites, representing that distance between them and God. As we continue reading, we see the institution of the tabernacle and the sacrificial system that is meant to temporarily cover the sins of man so that he once again convene with God. As we enter the New Testament, we get a new hope, and He sends His Son down to this earth. His manifested presence is now with man again, but not for long. John chapter 14, 25 and 26, Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." He's going to leave man again, but He's going to send God's manifested presence again. This time not in the form of a tent or a building or a person, but as a spirit that lives within each of His people. That same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is within you and me. Now, what do you think that means? Where do you think God wants to reveal His glory if His manifested presence is within us? We have to let His candle burn. Need to allow God to reveal His glory to others through us. Allow Him to work miracles and help others through you. And as we more often allow God to take control, it becomes easier and easier to let Him take control and work through us. It becomes easier to spread His message to those around us. I'm reminded of a time my friend Ben asked me to install a leveling kit on his truck one day. And it was a Thursday, and I didn't have class until 3 o'clock, so I figured I'd have time to get it in after chapel. So we went out to the shop, and I jacked it up and worked on it, and I could not for the life of me get the ball joints to come out of the hub. Just couldn't do it. I beat and beat, couldn't do it. And it was one of those days where everything was going wrong. A lady at the shop came out and yelled at me, said I was in the wrong place for working on it. I don't know what her problem was, but things just weren't going right. Nothing worked. So I swallowed a little bit of my pride and called the deacon of the local church I attend down there. He has his own shop, and I asked if we could come over and see if he could have a hand at it. And if anything, he had a lift, that'd make it easier. Needless to say, I didn't make it to my 3 o'clock class. In fact, I didn't get back to the dorm until about 11 o'clock that night. And it seems like everything was going wrong. I'd break something, I'd have to run to the store and go get it. I'd go back, I'd work on it, I'd break something else, have to run to the store and go get it. And nothing was working right. Well, Kyle, my roommate, was also having such a bad day. He was with me most of the time. And the same thing was going with him. Everything that could go wrong was going wrong. And his favorite snack is cheddar and jalapeno cheese dip with nacho cheese Doritos. It doesn't sound good, but I promise you it is. It's pretty good. And he decided that he needed to have that today to make the day just a little bit better. He rushed down to the fridge. We had two cans in there. And he pulled the first one out, and he went to open it, and the lever to open it broke right off. And he looked at it and just started crying. And he said, "You know what? This is a problem for future me, not current me. I can't handle it right now." So he put it away and got the other one out. I think a lot of times in our lives we're like that. We say, that's a problem for future me. Current me can't handle that right now. But you can't keep pushing something this important off to your future self. Because one day, there'll no longer be a future self. It'll just be the past. And you can't let that slip by. God's full and powerful glory is within you already. You just have to let Him light that up. Too often we have our own mental image of God, as I said earlier. And it's usually some distant foreign being. It's working through others, but not necessarily making an impact with you. But God is right here, right now, with us in this room. And He dwells within us always. My sweet mate is, we elect him in our club as the head of our devotionals on Wednesday nights. And he announced that the theme for this semester would be the difference between being convinced and being convicted. And as when he first announced that, I was really excited for the semester. And every Wednesday we met and we had a different speaker and they talked on the subject. It was an encouraging semester. I might say that, you know, being convinced of God was pretty easy. I've been convinced of God pretty much my whole life. It's easy to believe in God. And convinced may even be described as coming here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You believe there's a God, that's probably why you're here this morning. But being convicted, on the other hand, is quite different. I think that may even be described as what you do between the times we meet here. How we let God work through us to affect others and let His Spirit shine in us. I can remember the last Wednesday night devotional we had. He got up and he wrote, "Believe in God" on the board. And he said, "That's being convinced." He took the eraser and he erased the word "in." And it just said, "Believe God." He said, "Now that's being convicted." This morning, if you have questions about His Spirit, if it shines in you, or you feel maybe it's left you, or if you want to know how to receive this Spirit, whatever your need is this morning, we ask you to come forward now as we stand and as we sing.